This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Yes. God bless America. 250 years young. God bless America. Yes, that is my prayer. What an amazing country. What an amazing privilege you and I. You know, the Word of God says in the book of Acts that it is God who determines the exact place and the exact time we have each been born. If that is true, and I believe that it is, but if that is true, what a blessing that we were, that it was decided that you and I would be born Americans. There's a reason why millions of people do whatever they can do to get into this country. I can assure you, 20 million people are not trying to sneak into China unless they're trying to flee North Korea. Otherwise, that ain't happening. But do you know where that is happening? Right here in our country. What a privilege to be an American. God bless our country. Thank you, Jesus, that I am an American. That it was decided before the foundation of the world that I would be born right here in this time. What an amazing thing when you think about it. I just get emotional. I have like a lump in my throat when I think about this country and 250 years young. And, you know, I feel as though I get emotional because I'm grateful to be an American. You know, I know I am fully aware of the good, the bad, and the downright despicable things that have taken place in this country, in America, as it relates to me being a Black person. I grew up, most of you know my story, in very rural, very deep. When I mean deep, one-stop sign town. Deep south of Alabama, I grew up in a home with no insulation, no running water, an outhouse in the back, a well on the side. And, you know, I saw my family work so hard to provide for us, but I don't recall anyone ever calling me a victim. I don't remember anyone ever looking at me and saying, girl, you're Black, you're a woman, you're poor, hang it up, kid. I don't remember that. I saw my family working very hard. And I believed when I was a little girl that if I keep my nose clean, if I get an education, I something triggered within me as a young lady that I believe education was the tool. Education was the thing I needed to lean into the most. That education could become a weapon. It could become a ladder that I could use to climb out from underneath that rock and into a better situation. And now education, you know, education is not the magic tool, right? Because you have so many people who come here on scholarships, flee their country and come to our country. They're smart. They're economists now, but apparently they weren't able to do it in whatever country they came for. But it's something so special and unique about our country. And there's a reason why parents will put their child in the back of a meat truck, cross their fingers and pray that they make it across our border. There's a reason why parents give their children over to coyotes, not knowing if their baby is going to make it or what kind of condition they're going to make it in to our country, right? Raped, pillaged, or whatever, maimed. But in their country, there's so much hopelessness that they're willing to do that. And most people understand how valuable and precious this country is. My prayer, one of my prayers is that that Americans will remember just how amazing this country is, and that we would do a better job of wanting to build this country. And when you see people who have benefited off the back of this country and off the sacrifices of this nation, and you see them criticizing this country, don't just walk past. Pay attention, right? I was just, as I was coming in, I was thinking about this, and I decided to make a little list. But like Kamala Harris, for example, right? Her mother came here on a very lucrative scholarship. She was studying cancer. She's a cancer researcher, and she came here to our country from India, some part of India, on a scholarship. Kamala Harris' father came here on a student scholarship to the University of California, and he became a professor of economics at Stanford University. You have Pete Buttigieg. His father came from very impoverished country in Europe, Malta, and he came here on a scholarship and worked as a professor of literature at the University of Notre Dame. You're getting a theme here that these people had to leave their country because their country did not provide them whatever the conditions are that our country provided that allows people who are willing to put in the work and the effort to come here and to get an education and create a very lucrative life for themselves. So that was Kamala Harris. That's Pete Buttigieg. And then I started thinking about Ilhan Omar, right? Her family fled Somalia during a civil war and the collapse of the Somalia government. They were in some refugee camp for some time in Kenya. And then our country granted them asylum. Barack Hussein Obama, his father, who didn't raise him, African, from Africa. His grandmother and mother raised him. His mother seemed a little loose with all of her photos out there. But his grandmother, I think she was a bank president, and Obama attended a private school as a child. And I could just go on and on and on. And then you have this latest person, Zoran Mondami. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later because I've nominated him for Nut of the Week. But here you have Zoran Mondami. His father moved to Uganda as part of the British colonial rule. So he was one of these middlemen in the trade and commerce industry, and Uganda expelled him, kicked his family out because they got rich off the back of poor people, of Africans. And then his father moved from Uganda, went to southern South Africa, got kicked out of South Africa because, again, they know how to come in and they exploit the opportunities, imperial colonialists. And then they moved to America. Now his father, Mahmoud, I believe his name is a professor at Columbia Ivy League University, hustling race politics there. And now you see his children, right? So you see, these are the parents, Kamala parents, Pete Buttigieg father, Zoran Mamdani's parents. His mother is a multimillionaire, Ilhan Omar parents, Obama and his parents. And then these parents come to our country. They do what no other country would allow them to do. And then they raise these little snotty-nosed brats who turn into the biggest communists, flinging open the borders of our nation, flooding our nation with we don't even know who these people are. Many of them we are beginning to know, right? The ones who are raping and murdering and maiming people. But they have these kooky ideas, right? It wasn't communism that allowed their families to succeed. It was capitalism. The foundation of this nation, it was democracy. It wasn't, you know, consolidating power in the hands of a few elites within government, but it was our representative republic. It was our democracy that has allowed them to be able to do the things that they've done. And what do these sniveling, weak-minded reprobates do? How do they repay us, Americans, who have sweat and blood invested into this country, who have kept this country alive for 250 years. How do they repay us in just one generation? Our nation is on a knife's edge. I'm so grateful to God that if we had to go through this period of economic woes, rumors of wars, and rumors of wars all around us, what is happening with our girls' sports and just all of this, right? The flooding of our nation with these illegals, this bloated budget. If we had to go through this, and apparently we are going through this, that we have someone like Donald Trump in office who I believe actually love our country. But it's so interesting as I was just thinking about how I'm so grateful to be an American. I'm so grateful to be here in this country. And I love our nation. I remember as a young girl getting ready to graduate from boot camp, walking across the base, and the thought hit me like, you could be deployed to go to war and die. And at the time, I joined the military because I needed the GI Bill to pay for college. Remember, I'm poor. I needed money for college. Yes, I should have had this thought before I enlisted, but, you know, better late than never. Now I'm having this come to Jesus moment like, girl, you could go to war. You could die. But I remember thinking through that. And I remember making a conscious decision that if I was deployed and if I was called to lay my life down for this country, I would do so. But in order for me to do that, I needed to understand the history of this country. And that started me down the quest of first starting off reading one substantive book about each of our founding fathers, which then just kind of opened up the door to reading so many things. And let me just read to you guys out of my book. If you are on YouTube, you can see my book right here that I wrote. It went number one, yay, to me on Amazon. Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain, Being Black and Conservative in America. It's my own journey. But, you know, if I was going to lay, you know, because again, you're right, you know, I'm a young girl. You hear everybody talking about how America is so racist, how America is so horrible and all of that, especially in the Black community. As I grew up, and, you know, kind of moving throughout life. And now I'm like, okay, well, am I going to die for this country that from what I'm being told is so horrible? And I began to read and study. And as most of you know, I have the blood of slave coursing through my vein. That house I described growing up in, my great, great, great grandmother Rhoda grew up in that home and she was a slave. But this is these are some stories. Here's one. I call it The Patriotism of Slaves is the name of this chapter. And let me just read a little bit. The patriotism of slaves was a patriotism that produced hope, if only temporarily. But it was a hope that created opportunities for them for the first time to live above their predefined station in life. For the first time, they did not see themselves as victims. Their patriotism made them victors over their circumstances. They took possession of a freedom that was not their own and cloaked themselves with a hope not intended for them. Their freedom, this freedom they took hold of would not be the culmination of their fate. But from hopelessness to hope, a yearning was sparked. I'm dropping down. Here are two stories. If you walked into my home, you would see a portrait of Peter Salem. One day, they're witnesses to a Black family being raffled off one by one in front of some tawdry tavern. And the next day, a Black man, Peter Salem, wins the esteem of his white Minuteman unit and is presented to General George Washington, not as a slave, but as the man who has slain the officer leading the British detachment at Bunker Hill. Here's another story. Jehu Grant. was a slave who fled his master's fields and served in the army for 10 months. This is what Jehu read. I mean, this is what he actually wrote. I was then grown to manhood and the full vigor and strength of life, and heard much about the cruel and arbitrary things done by the British. Their ships lay within a few miles of my master's house, which stood near the shore, and I was confident that my master traded with them, and I suffered much from fear that I should be sent aboard a ship of war. This I disliked. But when I saw liberty poles and the people all engaged for the support of freedom, I could not but like and be pleased with such things. God, forgive me if I sinned in so feeling. And living on the borders of Rhode Island, where whole companies of colored people enlisted, it added to my fears and dread of being sold to the British. These considerations induced me to enlist into the American Army, where I served faithful about 10 months when my master found and took me home. These are just in my book, Nothing to Lose, Everything to Gain. You can purchase it off of Amazon. These are the stories, the many faces I talk about that allowed me to not make a decision that my country is so to fall in love with my country and to be willing, if called upon, to lay my life down for my country, that I would. These are the many stories that littered my journey of coming to this place, not based on emotions, but based on this is the greatest nation that has ever existed. We are not perfect, but I can assure you there is no other country running a close second to our country. But it is on our watch to preserve this nation for another 250 years. But we got to make some tough decisions. We're going to talk about some of those tough decisions when we come back. I want to open up this big, beautiful bill that Donald Trump signed into law. But we're going to, again, it's weaving our history. How do we come to these decisions that we come to? Remember, no one is a blank slate. Everyone, everything, every experience is writing upon you. Abraham Lincoln said, public opinion is everything. With it, nothing can fail. Without it, nothing can succeed. But you have to ask yourself, who's forming, who's molding, who's creating public opinion? This is a huge market out there for your opinion. And everyone is writing upon it. When we get back from this break, we're going to kind of talk about that. You're listening to The Kathy Barnett Show, and the call-in number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. If you want to talk to me about how you are celebrating 4th of July, what your thoughts are on what I've been talking about. I think this is the greatest country in the world. If you disagree, call me, 855-839-1210. I will see you on the other side.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Kathy Barnett Show here on the number one talk radio station in Philadelphia that also covers most of the mid-Atlantic states. So we're talking about New Jersey, all of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland. So how are y'all doing? Give me a call at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about this big, beautiful bill that Donald Trump boxer being processed for expedited ICE remover. I don't care if you're a boxer. I don't care if you're just a nice, you know, New Jersey father. If you're illegal and you're committing crimes and you are terrorizing people, it's time for you to get up and get out. I don't really care. They always love putting these adjectives to describe the various people. No, we got to start looking at our country. How do we preserve this nation for another 250 years? I can assure you, flinging open our borders and allowing 20 million plus people to come into our nation and just sully it Yes, I said it. Sully it. We don't know who these people are. We don't know. It's like, open up your front door. And whoever wants to walk in, walk right to your refrigerator, eat your food, make a mess in the kitchen, sit down, suck up all of your air conditioning with the door open, leaving the door open and washing their clothes with the air conditioner on, sitting there watching your television. Yeah. How many of you will allow that? And we have allowed 20 million people to just come into our country. Every time I think about it, it's like, I don't even understand. But let's kind of break open this big, beautiful bill that Donald Trump just signed into law. Let's just run through some things here. So one, it made the 2017 tax cuts permanent, which is very important. In 2017, it was not made permanent. And business people are not stupid. This is how they've been able to open up a business and keep that business going is because, one, they're not stupid. They read the fine print. And when they read the fine print of 2017, they realized that these cuts are not permanent. So what did they do? They took as many expenditures that they could in the first year of this, and then they expensed it without making additional expenditures. Because they're like, well, I don't know if this bill, who's going to be in office come 2025, and if this bill is going to be extended. And so making the 2017 tax cuts permanent allows businesses to think to themselves, hey, we can plan out our business investments, and business investments equals jobs and GDP growth. So we can plan out our business investment over the next 10 years instead of every 2 years, we have to make a new plan because we don't know what's going to happen, who's going to be in office. And so this is really good. This is a positive. The second thing, standard deductions are going up. They're going up from $29,200 going up to $31,500. So now we are going to be able, the middle class Americans, we're going to be able to increase our standard deductions. Child tax credit is going up from $2,000 to $2,200 with a refundable portion of that of up to $1,700. So that is good for the middle class. Cause see, the prevailing thought is like, this is a tax cut for the billionaires, for the rich, right? Because Democrats have no plan. They have no plan. All they have is hate. All they have is the opposite, right? So I look at this as someone in the middle class and I say to myself, this is good. Let me continue. New parent account. I'm not so keen on this. So the new parent account for anyone who's born, I think between 2025 and 2028, the Trump account will open up for any child born between 2025 and 2028, I believe it is. And $1,000 will be placed into this account for this child. There are some other provisions added to that, but that's the general theme. Now, again, I'm all about personal responsibility, but even more so, I'm thinking, what if a Poop Buttigieg is now president, or a Kamala Harris is president, or a Zahram Mamdani becomes president? I can see Democrats using this that's already been created and placed into law to now fund illegals, right? Why not? Now, of course, it says American, but listen, for American citizens, but listen, we're literally coming out of the past 4 years where we couldn't even define what a woman was. And we couldn't even define what an American citizen is. Remember, they told us to stop calling them illegal because no human is illegal. And this country is for everybody. We got to. Yeah. So I can see that fancy footwork going on under a God forbid President Buttigieg, right? So I'm not so keen on that, but there it is. Okay. The other one is for service workers. So now we're not so much talking about the middle class, but now we're talking about the working class, right? Those who a large portion of their income comes from tips. And we have a deduction. Now, this did not exist before. Now, again, as I'm talking about these, think what Democrats are telling you right now, right? Because they're out here competing for your attention and for your opinion. But now it's your responsibility not to be ignorant and not to be gullible. So someone can just come and say anything and you're like, yeah, this is a tax cut for the rich. Okay, you got to think. Put on your thinking cap. Here we go. So what did not exist before was service workers, the working class, the working poor, was not able to take deduct their tips from their income. Now, under Donald Trump and this big beautiful bill, they can take a deduction up to $25,000 on their tips. There's a phase out for all of these, right? So if you're making over $300,000, something like that, it begins to phase out or phase out completely at $300,000. And I believe it begins to phase out at $150,000 of income. So we're specifically talking about the working class here. Over time, for those who survive, and I've heard stories of people, a part of their survival, their ability to survive and pay their bills is taken into account. I'm going to have to get some overtime, right? And so for those particular people, if you're a joint filer, you get to deduct overtime pay, another $25,000. None of this existed. So when you hear Democrats talking about a cut for the rich, stop it. Roll your eyes and tell them to stop it. Also, if a car is assembled here in America, new car loan interest, you get to deduct up to $10,000 of the interest. That is a good thing. Here it comes for Pennsylvanians, New Jersey, those who live in New Jersey, and you're listening to my voice right now, as well as New York, as well as California. But we're here in Pennsylvania. The SALT tax, the state and local tax, has increased, the deduction has increased from $10,000 to $40,000. That is huge. Now, I know some of the states where your state and local taxes are low, you don't want to have to subsidize people up here in Pennsylvania. But listen, unfortunately, we're watching this flood take place in Texas right now, but we also see the wildfires in California. Pennsylvanians, we don't have a lot of these floods. We don't have a lot of tornadoes and hurricanes. We don't have a lot of wildfires. And yet, as taxpayers, we are subsidizing that. So in that vein, we're going to get a little bit more subsidy here. I'm perfectly fine with the $40,000 deduction. And then lastly, seniors, you get to deduct $6,000 of Social Security. We got to take a break. Here's the number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
This is the greatest country ever. Have you heard that? That was Whitney Houston. Oh my God, breaking it down. The late Whitney Houston. How tragic. But woo, that girl can sing, and nobody can sing, or as we would say in the country, sang that song like Whitney Houston. Oh my God, it is truly my favorite song of my husband. If you can see my husband and children when that song comes on, they're like all doing long eye rolls at me because I'm up on my feet, I'm waving my hands. I love this country. I hope you guys can feel the genuine enthusiasm for this nation. I'm so very grateful. And I'm so very grateful that we are grappling with hard topics in our country, right? We have to start talking again about things that are meaningful, and specifically things that are meaningful to you at your kitchen table. They're constantly trying to guilt us to think about people way over there on the other side of the nation, or people way over there on the other side of the globe, at the expense of your own kitchen table, people. Makes absolutely no sense. If you want to jump in on this conversation, call me 855-839-1210. So let's, now is the time that I will start talking about the nut of the week, right? And again, it's like, it's such a competitive race. There's so many nuts out here running around. Okay. The one who won, however, I'm going to say, is Muslim socialist Zohran Mamdani, who identified as Black in his application to Columbia University. Yeah, New York Times just broke that. Yeah. So his family is Indian, moved to Uganda, exploited them, got kicked out of Uganda for exploiting Black people. And then they moved over to South Africa, had to leave there because they got into a tussle. And then they came here. And his father is actually a professor at Columbia University. So I would think the admission would be easy for him since his father is an economist at the university. But to sweeten the deal, he said, yeah, I'm Black. You know, and it reminded me of Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, I'm Indian. Well, how are you Indian, Elizabeth? Tell us about that. Well, my grandmama said I had high cheekbones. Yeah, that's the Democrat Party. Stupid. And me as a Black woman, I get no benefits. I guess you got to get the benefits of being Black if you're not Black. But if you're an Indian who exploited Ugandans in your family lineage and got kicked out of Uganda and then kicked out of South Africa and then come here, father becomes an economist at Columbia University, an elite university, Ivy League university. Only, you know, I mean, it's just so rich. But anyway, he's the nut of the week. However, you know, he got some close competition here. I was reading one, again, I read to you guys many of the aspects of this big, beautiful bill. But, you know, again, Democrats have no purpose. So they're sitting around waiting for Republicans to do something. And then they can say, yeah. Right. So now we have a purpose. And their purpose is really between now and next year to just ride on the coattails of this big, beautiful bill, trying to trash it. And here you have Joe Biden writing a very well-written, grammatically correct post on Twitter, which, again, tells you it wasn't Joe Biden who wrote this. Anyway, here's what it says. The Republican budget bill is not only reckless, it's cruel. It slashes Medicaid and takes away health care from millions of Americans. It closes rural hospitals and cuts food assistance for our veterans and seniors. It jacks up energy bill and it could trigger deep cuts to Medicaid, blah, 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 blah. But then you have not just him, but our own representative. Let me see if I can find it. Ah, yes, Brian Fitzpatrick. Yes, Republican. He was one of two Republicans to not vote for that long list of positives, right? Who throws the baby out with the bathwater? You may not be able to get all that you can get, all that you want, but y'all heard me read off all of these positives. Who's not, who in their right mind in the Republican Party would vote against it? Well, Brian Fitzpatrick, he is their representative of PA1, which is Bucks County. And it's this long statement he put out, blah, 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 blah. I was listening with each iteration, listening carefully, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes on. However, it was the Senate's amendments to Medicaid, in addition to several other Senate provisions, that altered the analysis for our PA1 community, right? Like, oh, these bleeding hearts. Oh, I cannot believe it. Oh, my goodness. You know, we're going to kick off people from Medicaid. Oh, they taking away your Medicaid. That is a lie. That's propaganda, people. Okay. Again, everyone is out here competing for your thoughts. So you have to be a gatekeeper over your own thoughts. And so what are the facts? Here it is. Because Democrats are out here screaming that requiring 20 hours a week is heartless. But do you know what's actually heartless? Telling people they're too broken to contribute. Telling people that the best they can do is sit on a couch all day and take a check from the government. That is heartless. That is cruel. And it's detrimental to a nation who has a dropping workforce participation rate. We need people who are able-bodied, childless, to get their behinds off the couch and go out and put in a measly 20 hours a week. I mean, most of us are doing 20 hours a day. I certainly do more than 80 hours a month, which is what this is requiring. We didn't get where we are as a people by begging for help. This is the greatest nation. We didn't get here by people sitting on the couch begging for help. We got here by helping ourselves, even when the world was against us. So no, I don't think asking able-bodied, childless adults to get off the couch and help the rest of us do what we need to do. I think it's a compliment. And by the way, when they say millions of people, at the most is 4 million people. 4 million. We have over 70 million on the program. Okay, I see y'all on the other side. Here's the number, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm coming into the last portion.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Our time today. Yeah, we're at the last moments of our time today. If you want to try to jump in before I sign off for the day, please do it. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. You're listening to The Kathy Barnett Show. Woo! We've talked about a lot. We'd be moving fast. You know what? I over-prepare. I really do. Y'all should see my notes right now. I overprepare, but it's like it's so much information. Oh, let me also include that Planned Parenthood is set to lose close to $1 billion in taxpayer dollars, and nearly 200 facilities face closure. Whoop, whoop! So excited. That is good news. Babies will get to live. How about that? They will be able to be born. How cool is that? I love President Ronald Reagan. He said, you know, in terms of regarding abortion, he said, you know, the people who are something I've observed, he said, those who are very pro-abortion have already been born. They just don't want you to be born. They're already alive and living their life, making their choices. But it's interesting how they've already been born. That is a unique observation. Let's get back to this big, beautiful bill. Also, SNAP, food stamps, is going to be reduced, and some work requirements, as well as Medicaid, some work requirements. I'm good for it. I'm good for all of that. I think if you are able-bodied and you are capable of getting up and going out and working, especially if you're childless, absolutely, you should get up and pay. Now, they're also moving some of the costs, some of the administrative costs back to the states versus the federal government, i.e. you and I paying for it. Why? Because states operate on very stringent budgets. And so to call for the state to cough up an extra 25%, because I believe the administrative cost of handling food stamps, for example, is going from 50%, where the state was required to kick in half of the administrative costs, of getting people, of monitoring people, getting people on and off of food stamps is going to go from 50% to 75%. I believe that's the case. And so now what is that going to force the states, especially these sanctuary states, especially these Democrat ran states? What is it going to force them to do? It's going to force them to really become a little bit more stringent about making sure those who are receiving food stamps are eligible to receive food stamps. Those who are receiving Medicaid are eligible to receive Medicaid. It's going to force them to do some DOGE cuts on themselves. And that is a good thing, people. That is a good thing, right? So when you hear people like Brian Fitzpatrick, one of two Republicans, not to vote for this, or when you see all of Democrats not voting for this and coming out, think. This is a good bill for the middle class specifically, and also for working class. Yes, others are going to benefit from it as well. But this is the first time people are actually talking about the middle class and did something to help the middle class. So thank you, Donald Trump. We appreciate you, Mr. President. Okay, blessings, guys. Take care. Be safe. Love your family. Stop taking them for granted. And lastly, move in purpose, not in anger. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.